Hi, this is Norm Augustinus. I'm sorry I missed your call. After tone, leave your name and number. I'll get back to you.
Hi, Norman. First off, I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Secondly, I trust you are well, and I hope that you get this message. I want to tell you a Thanksgiving Day story. When I was a teenager, my parents took me to a corn farm. We went there to select the ears of corn that would be used for my mother's Thanksgiving Day dinner. It was a pick-your-own corn farm. It was fun walking through the many acres of corn. For an hour or two, we carefully inspected the corn stalks as we searched for the perfect cobs of corn. Norm, the farm showcased a single stalk of corn. The single stalk of corn was inside a small building. After my mom and dad had picked the cobs of corn for our Thanksgiving Day feast, I went into the tiny building that showcased the first corn grown on the property. There was a chair in the middle of the 10-foot by 10-foot building. I sat on the chair situated in the center of the room, and when I did, a slideshow began to play. The slideshow featured the first corn stalk and the corn on the cob that sprouted from it. At the end of the slideshow, I was informed that I would be able to experience the first corn on the cob like no other. Norm, all at once, I felt a sudden, sharp jab to my genitals while I was seated on the chair. And then I felt it again. But how? Why? Norman, the first corn cob ever grown on the corn farm rose out of the floor directly under the seat. The ear of corn was connected to a long hydraulic cylinder. The cylinder pushed the enormous 12-inch long by 2.5-inch in diameter cob of corn between my legs and into my tight pussy. The fabric of my pants and panties disintegrated. Norman, I was getting cornholed by a cob of corn. My hungry blood-engorged gash was impaled by that corn cob hundreds of times. In and out, and in, the ear of corn went. I came, and I moaned, and I came. And then as quickly as it had started, it ended. When I stood, I had trouble walking. I had been bored out real good. I was a virgin, for God's sake. While I was experiencing multiple corn cob-induced orgasms, a man was watching everything unfold through a window. The man came into the building and he said,
"When I was a kid, I went camping with my folks. While I was walking around the woods near our campsite, I found a big boxy-looking chair. It looked like it had been built out of concrete blocks. Someone painted it white. It looked real old. There was a small sign that had been affixed to a wooden stake next to the chair. In black permanent marker, someone had written the words, 'Smokey the Bear's chair. Sit in the chair and help Smokey keep an eye out for forest fires.' The structure looked like it was made out of cement. It looked like it should have been sitting in front of an ancient castle. I figured it was a park attraction, but it wasn't. When I sat on it, I took a huge dick at my crapper for about 10 minutes, and then the chair stood upright and clutched onto my earlobe, and the chair swung me head first into a big fucking oak tree. I was knocked the fuck out, and my shithole was throbbing. In the end, it was just some deranged fucker that had built a cardboard chair around his body with a hole in the seat for his dick to come through. Someday, I'll find that fucker and I'll kill him."
Norm, I am telling you this story in the hopes it helps your female listeners. Girls, if ever you go to a corn farm to pick your own corn for the holidays, be careful. You could get cornholed just before the Thanksgiving Day holiday. It happened to me. Now I must go. Norm, I call all the time, but you never call me back. What gives? Can you please excuse me? I want to vibrate the shit out of my needy fuck hole and stink star. Of course, I'll be doing this while I lie atop my dead grandmother's cum and piss-stained old spring mattress. Bye.
End of messages.
He wishes he could have killed his grandmother. His mother says everything he touches turns to shit. He's been to jail, spent 24 hours in a mental institution, and unsuccessfully tried to kill himself 3 times. And now, live via the internet, Norm Augustinus.
Give me a couple seconds.
So it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. Maybe 4:30. I'm not really sure. I'm all revved up because I'm invited to a party later that day. A pre-Thanksgiving Day party later that day. Like 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning. And I'd done like a fistful of weed. When I say a fistful, I'm not shitting you. And I'd gotten up earlier and thrown a chunk of Pinconning Paralyzer. I got bricks of weed. I get them for free, believe it or not. Not shit. Not fucking buds or sticks or anything like that, or stems. Not garbage like that. There's not even THC in stems, for Pete's sake. I don't have that. I've got the good stuff that a woman gives me that I banged out up here. Her family owns a wholesale grow farm, and they have a license to sell to all the other places in Michigan because it's legal to smoke marijuana in Michigan and buy things from marijuana-related in Michigan. That's the law here. So it's like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I had been doing a lot of weed. I've been doing a lot of thinking. I've been going through a lot of books. And as I'm keep going through one particular book, and this is a book of the Old West, and I'm using this little tiny flashlight. It's got two AAA batteries in it, and it's a little pen light flashlight. And I'm looking through the pictures. As I'm looking through the pictures, I'm thinking, look at all these people shot with arrows. And it said in a book that over 40 million people were shot with arrows during the Old West times. The old times out west with the Indians and the battle of chicks coming out there and chicks going out to San Francisco, moving from the east to the west. There's all these great battles. You know about that. The Indians versus the military and the Indians versus everybody else too. But not one fucking picture. As I'm looking through these pages, I'm just flipping page after page after page. And it's the thickest book you've ever seen. It's like 2 inches thick, maybe more, maybe 3 inches thick. And I'm flipping through the pages and I'm naked. I got no clothes on. And I look at my dick occasionally. I look at my dick the way you might look at your dog. I look at my dick the way you might look at your mate, your chick that you're with, your bitch. I look at my fucking dick like you might look at your kid that's 2 years old or a year old. I get great comfort knowing it's still there. Yeah, it's connected to me, but it still looks good. It's pink. It's getting good blood flow. And I'm looking at my dick and I'm looking through the pages of this thing. I pop a blotter acid. And when I say blotter acid, it's just a piece of paper with some acid, a drop of acid on it. And you can put that on your tongue and it goes in your system. You feel really good. You're on an acid trip. I got a book of that shit. When I say a book, in the old days, they had phone books and they were very thick. I've got a phone book-like thing, book, only on every page, it's just drops of blotter acid. I mean, I could be gone on acid. Was it lysergic something? I could be gone on acid forever. And I got that for a gift years ago. It's really comforting to know you have that. But as I'm going through this book, I guess I'm distracted by the idea that I got to go to this party later that day. And I can walk to the party because that makes me happy because I don't like to drive. If I don't have to drive, I won't drive. I do have something to drive there. And I also have an old bike I have that's got a gasoline motor on it. We'll talk about that in a second. But I'm looking through this book and I say to myself, look at all these chicks that have arrows in them. They're actual graphic pictures of chicks laying alongside the trail that you were going out west on. And there's all these chicks and shit, and they got arrows in them. All kinds of arrows as they were taking their wagon, their covered wagon, trying to go from the east to the west. They wanted to be on San Francisco. They wanted to be by water and oceans and shit like that. Warm fucking weather. They were sick of the east. That's really what went on. Chicks were moving, and anybody else in front of them had to die. That's how it always has been. It's always going to be that way. Chick loses her fucking leg in some water. She's in the ocean. They call or they kill like 10,000 sharks because one bitch lost her ankle or something from the ankle down, lost her foot. Same thing when the chicks decided to go out west. Everybody had to fucking die because their whim now was to move from the east to the west. And I'm looking at all these pictures, and I hate to say it, but sometimes I laughed at the way they were lying on the side of the trail. And I thought, how do we know that any of these bitches weren't thrown out by a dude like me? She's sitting on a seat there yapping her goddamn gums, and she wouldn't shut up, and some guy that was holding the reins, the leather straps to the two horses, he just threw her the fuck off. That's what I'd have done. I'd have thought, I'm going to see a lot more pussy when I go out west, and look at all the pussy in this wagon train, man. There's a shitload of pussy. Why am I with this flappy gum-talking fucking thing here? Out over the side she goes. As I'm looking at all the pictures, I don't see one picture of an Indian arrow. Now, I'm on this arrow thing
because an Indian arrow, an actual Indian arrow, a couple hundred years old, still sticking in a tree, is worth a fortune. They've yet to find one. I certainly know that there's one somewhere fossilized, and Running Flaps told me she knew where there was one. That's an Apache Indian that lives up here. But they're just worth a fortune. And I'm looking at these pictures, and not one damn arrow. You don't even hear about this today. Not one arrow with a piece of rock for the tip on it and all that, and the fletching in the back, real feathers. Not one fucking Indian arrow is shown to be in some chick's cunt. Now, how's that possible? How can no chicks from the old West, the old days, how could not one of these bitches have taken an arrow, 3 feet long, streamlined arrow made by a master, an Indian craftsman, American Indian, how can not one arrow be in her cunt? It doesn't seem possible. I mean, say she's working on she got a 50-gallon drum of flour, and she's sorting through the weevils, and she's bent over trying to get flour out of a 50-gallon drum. She stepped out of the wagon train. This is like 1850 or whatever you want it to be, 1830. She steps out the wagon train. She's going to make pie and shit for people, or potatoes, whatever she's going to do, corn dodgers. And she's bent over, and the Indians show up. How can an arrow not have gone into her fucking twat? It's not possible. That's the place I would have aimed as I was an Indian. I don't care if they were American Indians. They still thought like you and I. They liked pussy. They liked tits. They liked to be fed. They liked good meals. They liked a full night's sleep. They liked to be warm. They did all the things you and I do. So I would have deliberately aimed for the cunt whenever a chick was bent over. I'm looking through page after page after page at 4 in the morning, and I'm not finding one goddamn arrow that's in some chick sunk in her cunt. Now, how's that possible? The only thing I can think is this, and I start to laugh. You know, a cunt is huge. A goddamn cunt will unfurl. When I say unfurl, it means it'll actually unfurl, like, and unroll itself and get bigger and bigger. The cunt, because of the woman, her ears, her nose, her eyes, will automatically adjust her cunt to that guy's cock. You probably didn't know this. A cunt will self-adjust to you, depending on what you smell like, the things coming off you, the chemicals. It knows the size of your cock straight away. So as that cunt's unfurling, it can get huge, 18 inches, 19 inches, 18. I think I read once there was a 19 or 21-inch long cunt track that they found fossilized somewhere in Egypt. And it was all revered and all kinds of stuff because it was so deep. At that time, you wanted to go deep. And I can understand why. The deeper you go, the more chance you have of setting to come into the egg. And you might have results that way. But these big cunts would unfurl there. And they might have taken a whole arrow, just 1, 2, 3, whoosh, gone right in. You didn't see the arrow. But why in none of the pictures, and I'm going through it one after another and smoking my dube, got my flashlight. Occasionally I look up, I see all my pornographic pictures on the walls. I got all kinds of 8x10s of old porn stars, and I got big posters on my walls, on all the walls in my bedroom. And it's really comforting. It's really beautiful. I look at these things as I'm going to bed at night, and I think, look at that, man. Look at these prizes that once graced this planet. And look at the goddamn sluts we have today. Look at it all. And I'm thinking, wow, look at how lucky I am. Now, no arrows, not one fucking arrow, page after page, is in there with an arrow in a woman's cunt. She's not on her back with an arrow in her cunt. She's not in her stomach with an arrow in her cunt. She's not laying in her side with an arrow in her cunt, sunk deep in her cunt. She's not fucking upside down, head first, laying on the side of a wagon, and she's got rigor, and there's no arrow in her cunt. Now, why is that? There was an arrow in her cunt. Why is that? Wouldn't they have showed that? Wouldn't they have published that? Of course there was millions of arrows in their cunts. They didn't show it. And what a difference it is today. I mean, they wouldn't show an arrow in a bitch's cunt. Maybe she never took one of the cunts. That's what they're trying to push on us. But today, she can take 12 inches in her cunt on an OnlyFans account, and you'll fucking pay to see it. It's the same thing. She's being impaled by a long object, and it's being featured, and she's making money on it, man. Making money. But there's no arrows in a cunt. How can that be? Somewhere in this planet, a chick took an arrow to the cunt. Big, long fucking arrow. Beautiful feather fletching. Hand-carved by an American Indian craftsman. Hand-chiseled tip on it. Right in the goddamn cunt. That's where I would have aimed. That's the fucking, what do they call it, the money shot? That's the money shot, man. Here it comes. What happened? She died. She took an arrow to the cunt. And where's the picture? Where's the Time Life picture or something like that of her laying on the side of the jism trail and her legs are spread and her pants are tore off and there's an arrow in her cunt or an arrow in each of her tits or what they call them, Red Clouds or Fun Bag. There's an arrow in her jugs, man. There it is. Look at that. You never see a picture like that. Even then, whoever was in charge of pictures with this magazine, this book that I'm looking through, they like were protecting bitches. Why would you protect a bitch, man? They don't want anything to do with you. They want to use the things you have. They want to borrow the things you have. Why are we protecting bitches at all cost? Why are we doing this? I have no idea. As I'm looking at these pictures, I just kept going faster and faster and faster. And I went, no, man, it can't be. No, man, there's got to be a picture in here with one bitch with an arrow in her fucking cunt. And there's none. Come on, man. Come on. Page after page after page. I was flipping them like a goddamn flip book. Nothing. You try to find a fucking page. They said how many arrows were shot? 40 million arrows were shot. You try to find a woman with an arrow in her cunt. You can't compromise her integrity. What integrity, man? You can't try to make her look small. Make her look small, man. She just gutted you or your friend yesterday. What are you talking about, man? Where's a picture with a fucking woman with a goddamn arrow in her fucking twat? There isn't an arrow in her twat. They won't show an arrow in her twat, but during Vietnam and shit, they showed that all over the place. No arrow in her cunt. It was long range and stuff, man. I spent 18 months in Vietnam War, man, on a Huey helicopter. I think they call it a Bell UH-1, Iroquois. I spent 18 months in that thing with an M1 minigun. I was a door gunner, man. 2,000 to 3,000, maybe 5,000 fucking rounds a minute. Where's my pictures? Where's me in a Time Life book as I'm fucking jumping out of a helicopter at 300 feet into a goddamn water, big thing of rice paddies with a bunch of gooks in it, fucking tending to rice, and I'm banging them out. Here comes El Gaco. El Gaco meant the big one. That was my dick. Fucking 15.5 pounds flying out of the sky. Dun, 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 dun. Here comes El Gaco, the big one, the big dick. I can't tell you how many VC chicks I got out there. How many Vietnamese women, chicks out there I banged out? I've probably got kids all over the place. They're probably working the fucking levers at the fucking Vietnam, the tourist attraction Ferris wheel right above the tunnels where I was. They're probably pulling the handles right now. And welcome to the fucking Ferris wheel. That's what's above all that shit now. Where's even one picture of some slut with an arrow in her fucking cunt? An arrow in her gash. There isn't one. I don't know what I'm doing looking through it. I mean, that's kind of mental. That's kind of odd, isn't it? 4 a.m. going through pages looking for a fucking Indian arrowhead that is lodged in some chick's big fucking chunky, big furry, flappy, chunky, waiting for your cock to meet the big meat, man. So I'm excited about this thing I got to go to. It's this pre-Thanksgiving Day party, and I get invited. And I think, okay, that's nice. I get invited. I'm not going to take my car because I can get to this woman's house. Now, this is not the woman that gave me the free fucking snowmobile. The snowmobile that's worth a fucking fortune. She gave me a 64 Polaris Comet. They called it the LA 600. It's a snow machine or a snowmobile. I don't know what you call it where you're at. That woman, I was at her house once. She gave me a 6-horsepower fucking powered 1964 Polaris. I can't even imagine a 64 snow machine or snowmobile with a 6-horsepower engine. Man, most chicks are so fucking fat today, such a mountain of pusses, you couldn't drag them around in a snowmobile with a 6-horsepower engine at all in any way, shape, or form. That's why the engine has gotten so big in snow machines, because you can't fucking move around your big mountain of fat, your big tanker, your puss bag walking around wanting, needing, demanding. You couldn't move around because of her goddamn weight. That's why that thing failed. But she gave me that, and they're worth a fortune. Been working on it ever since. I think 400 of them were ever built. Most of them, 250 or 300, were recalled, and the others were sold, kept by private things. 50 of those went into dumps and landfills. But she gave me one of those, but it's not her that I'm going to the party. This other chick, she's a younger woman, and she actually has the name Betty. I can't give you her last name, but I always liked the name Betty. Betty, to me, always sounded feminine, and that might have had something to do with me saying okay to this pre-Thanksgiving Day party, which I went to. Now, when are you getting this? I've been so busy, I wasn't able to get this out. You're getting this on Monday, but last week when I went to the pre-Thanksgiving party, it was actually on the Friday evening, and that's when it occurred, and that's what I'm talking about now. So she said to me, Betty, which I like the name. Betty, to me, sounds so feminine. It sounds like somebody warm and soft, and you can squeeze her, and she's going to endorse you. She's going to build you up at every fucking corner. She's not going to tear you down or deliberately look for ways to bicker with you night and day and night and day and pick on your words and somehow now cry when you're suddenly gone and act like she's missing you when you were like 50. She was 50% of why you're dead in the fucking first place. So Betty sounds so soft and gripping onto you and clutching onto you. Her fine female fingers, her beautiful neck, her nice gizzard in the area where the neck is, where you can see like that she's got the perfect neck, and you think, wow, I wonder if there's ever been any dick down there. You're looking at her fucking blower's lines around her mouth where she's been blowing people. I look at all that shit, and I take all things into accountability when it's time for me to insert, when it's time for me to impale some chick's big pussy. I'm going to impale it just like the arrows that you can't find even one arrow in into any chick's cunt in the Old West. It's not fucking possible. She's sitting up there with a seat. She'd have taken an arrow to the tit. She'd have taken an arrow to both of her jugs, wouldn't she? She'd have been telling the guy off next to her, talking about her crotch rot and her fucking diaper rash, sitting on that wooden seat for fucking 15 days in 90-degree heat. She'd have been bitching to him about it all, blaming him for all of it, and she'd have taken one right in the open mouth. She'd have taken him in the tits and stuff. But there's no arrows in her cunt. Now how? Protect a woman at all costs. Protect them. Protect them and make you look bad at every turn. They're great. You're dumb. You're always going to be dumb. If you were there, if I was at your house right now, I'd fucking fuck you just to show you how dumb you are. Look at you, been exploited by a dude. I'd fuck you as soon as you open the door. Ding, ding. With my detective friend. Hold him down. Well, he's so goddamn dumb. I got to bring him down super low. The lowest he can go before he'll ever come back again and be what he could have been. And that's what's going to happen. That's the mechanics of it. So Betty says, I'd like to invite you over for the Thanksgiving Day pre-party. I said, wow, is this for Thanksgiving? She said, no, it's the pre-party, the pre-Thanksgiving dinner, and everybody in the area that I know I invited. And she said, and I want to include you too. Now, the truth is, she wants to invite me because I talk about El Gaco, my big dick. That's what the VC called my dick. The gooks out there called it that as they were running, man. They're running through the fucking rice paddies. Even the fish would take off because the chicks were running, man. Rice paddies everywhere. It looked like a marriage when I was done. Like the carnage of a marriage. You know, they throw rice and shit. You're getting married. They throw it in. There's rice everywhere. It was like that. It was like there was a marriage there. And they threw the rice, and that's all floating on the surface. The waves are starting to come down. The cum is everywhere. They're all banging the fuck out. In a certain way, it was a marriage. When I fucking jumped out of that helicopter, it was a marriage between me, myself, and their cunt. Here it is, a wedding fucking bells, man. Here I come. So Betty says, yeah, I'd like to have you come over. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's great. I come over and stuff, a real dinner. I said, are you having all the traditional fixings? I think you say fixings. Fixings. Are you having all the traditional plates? That would be like turkey. That would be mashed potatoes, green beans, stuffing, apple pie, pecan pie. It would be all that, coffees, eggnogs, and all kinds of booze and shit like that. So I thought, that sounds really good. Where that's at, it's very comforting. And if there's pussy there, it's comforting too. There's the pussy to comfort me emotionally. There's the food to comfort me physically. And why wouldn't you want to be drawn to that? Here I come. I'm going into this box made from trees. All the trees, all the pain they suffered when they built this house for the selfishness of this slot. And there's the trees holding up the frame and shit. Nobody thinks of that. I'm going there for comfort food. Here I come. I'm interested. And then she starts to try to talk to me. This is on the phone. A little bit warmer. And I could see the tone switch. You'll see the tone switch when it comes to a woman. You can feel the hate. Then you can feel when her voice box is being driven, being operated by her pussy. Her big, leaking, drippy, gigantic, stretched out fuckhole. That fuckhole actually controls her voice. The fuckhole controls her eye movements. The fuckhole controls the dilation of her pupils. The fuckhole is actually in control of the woman. And they work day and night to try to keep the fuckhole tamed, try to keep it quiet and asleep, because it can distract them dramatically. The fuckhole is actually in charge of the woman's pussy, and they try to keep it like reined in, man. Like it's like a horse, and you're trying to rein it in and shit. This is what they had to fight with. But I heard her voice change, and it went much softer. And she called me Norm, and the Norm was not like a normal Norm. It's not like, hey Norm, what you doing? Hey, Norm, what's going on? Hey, shut the fuck up, Norm. It's not like that. It was like, Yeah, Norm. You know, I'm going to have some green beans. Do you like green bean casseroles with onions? I'm going to have that. Do you like green bean casseroles with onions? It was like that. You have to be able to hear it. You're probably too dumb. You're probably too spaced out. You've probably been at it so long in some type of environment, some type of controlled environment that you live in, from the job to the rules there, to the rules of driving, to the rules of being in a fucking store, to the rules of how you perform in a theater, to the rules of what you do when you go to a restaurant. You're so fucking hemmed in. You're so controlled. You really can't get a hold of yourself. You don't know where you're at. You don't know where to start. Well, you're starting off good, man, because you're with your friend, your pal, Norm Augustinus. When I say I'm the recipe of what people want to be, I'm not bullshitting you. And old people believe that also about me. I am the recipe of what people want to be. I'm tall, thin, handsome. They don't want to hump you. They want to hump me. They want to blow me. So I say to Betty, yeah, I'm in. I like the sound of that. And I'm thinking about it as I'm going through the pages looking for an Indian arrow that's impaled some chick's cunt, that's gone into her cunt, and her legs are spread, and her fucking tits are flapped on each side, and her eyes are rolled back, and she's dead along the Chisholm Trail. All her dreams, hopes, and desires have been fucking snipped, have been canceled. The show's over. Get out. You're done now. When I was a kid, I used to have a woman come over. And that woman would help me with regards to the Torah when we were studying it. And a woman would take me out sometimes on my birthday. And the birthday lady that came over, she didn't come over no more because my mom canceled it. It really fucking hurt. I wasn't going out with her anymore to Kresge's, which was big. I wasn't going out to Woolworth's anymore, which was goddamn big, where she would buy me a $2 present. That was canceled. And I remember how bad that hurt. And I can equate that pain that I was never going out again with my Aunt Marge. I can equate that pain with this bitch lying on the side of the Chisholm Trail. She's on the Chisholm Trail. Her legs are spread. Her fucking clothes are gone. And she's legs are pulled back like she was taking a dick from her, maybe from no fucking arrow in her cunt, and everything she hoped and dreamed of, everything she wanted when she was going out west, was canceled. There's the vision of reality. There's hope versus fucking reality, and it's gone. It's just been cessated. It's been severed, man. Here I am. She didn't even get a chance to hear the arrow as it went into her cunt. At least give her that. The you don't even hear that because they don't picture any arrows in any cunts anywhere. I guess I got caught up on that, looking through this book at 4 a.m. smoking reefer, because I was slightly wasted. I had the goddamn my little brass plate. I got a picture of an elephant that's been engraved into it. I put my dube on that. My roaches are on that. I'm looking at all the pictures. I'm looking at these pictures, thinking of the party. She says, yeah, we're going to have all the fixings, Norm. That's Betty again. I like the name Betty. I don't want some fucking winning name. I don't want a goddamn winning name that some bitch has calculated, looked in all kinds of name books, and this is going to guarantee her success, and she's going to have fame and fortune. I don't want that. I just want a fucking, I want a dumb sex kitten, and then she knows what she is early on, and she can maybe cook and shit like that, and she can help in the yard, things like that. I don't want nobody to, I don't want to compete with nobody in the same house. Can you imagine that? Running Fist is coming at you. That's what one of the chicks I used to date used to call me. Running Fist. This is a long time ago, man. I was fucking at one of the universities. She called me Running Fist because one time I ran, I was so upset. They're such experts at fucking dehumiliating you and crushing you and getting right to the spine of you that I just started running like Fred Flintstone, his legs with my fist straight ahead locked in, and it went right into her jaw. She calls me Running Fist even today. Oh, Running Fist. I'll hear from old friends and they'll say, yeah, I just saw her the other day. She brought you up Running Fist. I said, yeah, what of it, man? One of it, Running Fist was there because Running Fist had to protect him fucking self from annihilation, from the destruction of this SWAT. There comes Running Fist. Here you come. You try to destroy me, I'm coming at you. I'm Running Fist and I'm coming at you, man. I get dumped off at a bus stop. I'll get dumped off with a taxi cab. I'll get dumped off with a Uber driver. And I'll run down that fucking street until I get to your house. So here comes Running Fist, man. Bam! So Betty says, yeah, yeah, I'm looking forward to you coming over. Yeah, sure, she's looking for me to come over. And I say to her, you know, and then she says, okay, that's great. You're going to come over and stuff. You want to bring a dish? She says that. I want to bring a dish. And she says, you know, Norm, I'm remotely intrigued by the art you're doing. And I'd like to somehow see what it is you're doing, the art you're working on. And what she's talking about, I already know about it because people have been talking around it about talking about the art that I'm currently doing now and talking about it. She said, I'm remotely interested in the art you're doing. Could you bring it by, give me a demo, or explain it to me? She says, I kind of like it. Maybe I'd even be a customer. No, you wouldn't be a customer. You're not going to be a customer. You're not my type of person to be a customer. You're not going to be a customer. I know my customer. My customer's on the edge. My customer can't hang on much longer. You're not my customer. Goddamn, with your damn KitchenAid blender. You're not my fucking, my type, my customer. She said, I still like you to bring it over. It's going on Thanksgiving. It's going on with Christmas or Hanukkah. She says, it's coming on with that. I'd like you to bring it over and explain to me with what I've heard. I've heard all kinds of strange things, Norman, and I'd like it to come over. And she said, that would be real nice, Norman. I said, yeah, okay, that sounds good. I'll do that. You don't pass up a possible fuck. You don't pass up some possible loving. You know how hard it is to get good loving today? You can't get good loving today. There's only a handful of people that I would actually entrust with all kinds of good loving towards me. One lived on a street called Parkdale, and it, at that time it was Utica, Michigan. I trust her. I grew up with her. There's one there that I 100% would allow myself to fall, to melt myself completely into her arms, to get on top of her like a popsicle, and the popsicle melts, and all the fixes, all the juices of the popsicle, they just go into her. I just melt the fuck away, safe, sound, and gone. That's the one person I would trust. I would do it. So I say, yeah, I'm coming over. And I say, I'm coming over, and it's going to be nice. I'm looking forward to coming over. Pre-Thanksgiving Day party, Norm Augustinus, it's a date. This time, this place, and it's a date. And I've been thinking about it, and that's why I'm probably up at 4 a.m. or 5, but I'm always up at 4 a.m. or 5. The other day, I was out with a woman. She was prime driver, and we were talking and stuff, had all kinds of good shit going on, all kinds of vibrations. We could really vibe in and all that stuff that they say today. And she was over, and I was up till 4 a.m. We were smoking all kinds of dope and shit. I like that. I like that kind of thing. You're going to stay with me. And I told her, if we're going to do this, I don't want you wearing black panties. And I say that to every bitch, and I'd say it to you too if you're interested in me. I don't like black panties. They look dirty. I can't tell if you shit yourself. I can't see if you've got a wet spot where your cunt is. If you come to my house and knock on the door 3 or 5 in the morning, and you better be wearing panties that show a wet spot eagerly and visibly, and there it is with all enthusiasms that you can muster up, there it is. I like that stuff now. Sister wears fucking white panties, send her overs. Colored panties, even colored, is even better. So I'm in bed and I'm thinking about the party. I'm thinking about all the shit I'm going to do. And then I get dressed and ready to go. It's 4 or 5 in the clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm in the shower. I like my shower because in it I've got a weather station that I mounted in the shower. It's weatherproof. I have one of the same kind of weather stations that I put, the weather station that I put in my ice fishing shanty. And I can just look in the shanty and see the weather, the temperature, the wind direction, the barometer rising or falling. I can see all kinds of stuff, what's expected to happen, the diagnosis. And I look at it in the shower, and I'm in the shower looking at it and thinking about my big day, my Thanksgiving fucking day. And while I'm in the shower, I'm getting ready because I'm going to go there a little bit early. She said, if you like, stop by early. It'll just be myself and my daughter. And I said, your daughter? I said, what's her name? She said, Stephanie. I said, Stephanie. Is your daughter? She said, yeah, she lives with me. Now, I've seen Stephanie. As soon as she said Stephanie, I thought of Stuff-a-me. See Stephanie Stuff-a-me? As soon as I saw her when I was in town one day, I was at the general store where there's a mom-and-pop store. That's where I buy all my shit. I don't even drive there. I just walk to the place. It's about a mile from my house. I walk through trees. I walk through a field and to get to this place. And I saw Stuff-a-me in the store. And I thought, who's that belong to? I'd like to fucking house my 15.5 pounds in her fuckhole as soon as I saw her like that. People will say, that's not how you look at women. If you look at women like that, the Christian Bible says, if you even have a thought like that, you've committed a sin. And I thought, who is that? She said, hi, I'm Stephanie, and I keep hearing Stuff-a-me. And Stuff-a-me lives with Betty, and she says, you can come out early and see my daughter. And I'm thinking, wow, I like that. I can go with Stephanie and Stuff-a-me and things like that. That sounds exciting. So while I'm in the shower, I'm thinking about my dick. I always think about my dick. And you're entitled to think about your dick. It's a part of you that's just as important. See how all of a woman, 98% is her pussy and her tits. Well, why can't we be absorbed with our cock? Why can't we love our cock? Why can't we understand the importance of our cock? That's what it is. And I'm thinking about my dick in this party. And I'm thinking about the arrows. And I'm thinking about Thanksgiving coming. and I think to myself this, it hit me out of the blue. The formula hit me out of the blue. You know, I've got two formulas now. I only had one formula before, one math proof that's absolutely proven, and that is this. And I've got another one I'm going to tell you now. And I'm thinking about this in the shower, and I'm excited about bringing beans to her party for the pre-Thanksgiving Day party. And now she's telling me I can come early to see stuff me, which means like stuff me with your cock. That's how I hear it. Stuff me, Stephanie, stuff me. The mom's there. All kinds of food's there. I'm warmed and housed. And I come up with this proof, this math thing. I'm good at that. The one I have is hope plus doubt equals desire. It's a mathematical formula I came up with at about age 19. Here's how it works. You hope the bitch wants you, but you doubt she does. And that creates the equals of desire. Same thing with a bitch. She hopes you like her, but she doubts she'll ever do anything will ever come of it. And that creates the feeling of desire. That's how it is. That's the proof. I should be in every magazine, every book, everywhere for that formula alone. Hope plus doubt equals desire. Now, my second one I'm thinking while I'm in there soaping up my cock and my balls and my shithole, I'm thinking of this other one that I just came up with, and I think I came up with it when I was going through the fucking Indian book that was about 4 inches thick, Indian pictures, time-life pictures of all kinds of people dead with Indian arrows in them. Pages and pages, but not one bitch with an arrow in her cunt. So I think, wow. Something's just hit me as I'm in here. As I'm looking at my dick, I'm thinking of meat. And I'm thinking of my dick, thinking of meat, and I come up with this formula. Listen to this. How much meat does a chick take? This is what that's the basis of this. How much meat does a woman take in a year? How much does she take in a month? I'm going to tell you right now how to figure that formula. This is not a joke. This is mathematics, man. I'm fucking being serious, man. This is mathematics. I'm being as serious as I can possibly be, man. I'm serious. When you're with a chick and you're banging her out. Is that what they say, banging her out? When you're with a chick and you're humping her, balling her, porking her. I got every fucking name in the world for it. When you're about to ball a chick, when you're going to ball a chick, when you are doing it. Here it is. Write this down, fuckstick. Every thrust of your hips puts in about 5 inches at one thrust per second for 10 minutes. Hear that? Let me see if I can remember it. Every thrust puts in of your cock, of your dick, every thrust of it going back and forth, puts in about 5 inches at one thrust per second for 10 minutes. So let's figure that out. That's maybe 3,000 inches per sexual encounter, per fuck session, per humping session, 3,000 inches per sexual encounter. So there are 63,360 inches in a mile, right? So you need to have sex about 21 times to get a mile of dick. Most chicks have sex 21 times in a month. That means they're taking a mile of meat. A mile of dick, man. The chick you fucking are crazy about, she takes a mile of dick a month. Now, what, it's a mile of dick? How about 12 months? She takes 12 miles of dick a month, a goddamn year. That's that formula. The chick you like so much? Look at her. She's like a little angel. She's going in the fudge shop. She's buying a piece of fudge while I'm sitting out in the fucking parking lot. While I'm sitting on the curved park, she's going to bring me a piece of fudge. Oh, I just love her. You just love her. She takes a mile of dick, a mile of meat a month. She takes 12 miles of dick a month, like asphalt, like pavement, only in dick form. She takes all that goddamn meat. She's at the candy store? That's great. You go to Walmart. You have a Walmart near you. It's a store. You go to a Walmart. She's in the store. She says, I got to go away a little while, honey. I got to get you a present. Whatever the present's going to be is a piece of shit. They don't spend money on men. You spend money on her. She's going to buy you a piece of junk. She's going to buy you a goddamn one of those wristwatches that's fucking that lasts for 10 years and it's on sale for $9.99. That's what she's going to buy you, that wristwatch. Isn't she lovely? I just love the shit out of her. Hey, look, she's just made an unexpected thing to visit to my house, and she's brought me a meal from the deli that I like that makes the fucking pastrami sandwiches with the cheese and the bagels and the lox. She's bringing that to me. I'm so goddamn lucky. You're not lucky. I just gave you a mathematical formula that I figured out and came to me in a shower while I'm thinking about the Thanksgiving, pre-Thanksgiving Day party. You're not lucky, fuckstick. She takes a mile of meat a month. She takes 12 miles of meat a year. I just love her. She's so special. Look what you got, man. Look what's trapped you. This is what you got. You want the formula again? There's the formula. Every thrust, every push of your cock into her fuckhole which is your, let's say your cock's about 5 inches. That's the average. Every thrust you put in, about 5 inches at one thrust per second for 10 minutes. One thrust per second for 10 minutes, 5 inches going in. So that's possibly or maybe around 3,000 inches per sexual encounter. And there are 63,360 inches in a mile. So you need to have sex about 21 times to get a mile of dick with this bitch. 21 times will give her a mile of dick. This is math, man. You can't dispute it. This isn't a joke. She takes a mile of dick a month. She takes 12 miles a goddamn year of dick. 12 miles? That's just a brown eye, man. I mean, that's just a fucking cunt. That's just her gash taking the dick. Now let's double it and go to her shithole, her stink star, her brown eye. She takes it there, the same thing. Now double it. It's not a mile a fucking month now. It's 2 miles a month. It's 2 times 12 is 24 miles of fucking meat she takes into her shithole and her pussy every goddamn year. 24 fucking miles of dick laid down in her pussy, and there you are. I got such a great thing here. Look at her. She's so sexy. She's so free. She's like a Charlie perfume ad from 1960. Wow, look what I got. Man, she's taking meat on top of meat on top of meat on top of meat on top of meat. And you're just another goddamn rube, an idiot in line for fucking the pussy hole. She's got to have the meat. They can't stay alive without the meat. They're like vampires for fucking dick meat. It's not a joke. That's maybe the best math proof, the thing I've done, gone over a million times since. It's the best thing I've ever come up with. That and a hopeless doubt equals desire. Every thrust puts in about 5 inches, that's your dick length, at one thrust per second for 10 minutes. That's maybe 3,000 inches per sexual encounter. There are 63,360 inches in a mile, so you need to have sex 21 times to get a mile of dick. Every chick has sex 21 times in a month. There's your little honey. Motherfucker, get in your goddamn car and put it in low drive, lock in the wheels, the front for all-wheel drive, and drive it right through her fucking house, because right now she's beating off. Right now she's fucking playing with her pussy. Right now she's got a sex machine. There's two things, one in her asshole, one in her cunt. She don't even know who the fuck you are till she comes out of her goddamn her coma. Her cluster coma. That's what they are. They're called clusters, A, B, C, or D, these personalities of bitches. When they say cluster, fuck, they're not shitting. You were the fucking insane slut at the holidays. So when I finish up, I've got my math formulas. I've gone through looking for Indian arrowheads, man. I was in my bedroom. I've fucking got my meat on. I'm smoking and toking and fucking eating. All of everything, you can look into the pictures. Now it's time for me to go. I get on my clothes, I put on my Pierre Cardin cologne, and I'm ready to go, and I go out to the yard, and I got a bike there. Now, the bike for this party, she told me to come by around 5:30 or 6 for the early pre-thing before people were there. It was just her and Stuff-a-me, which is, it's really Stephanie. I call her Stuff-a-me, because that's, I think, what they meant. Like, what's her name going to be? Like, her mom's on fucking some kind of dope in the hospital. What are you going to name her? Stuff-a-me. Stuff-a-me. And she remembers taking a dick to make Stuff-a-me. Stuff-a-me. So I get on a bike, and it's an old bike, and the bike has a gasoline motor on the tire. I used it at one of the universities I went to, gaining this extreme fucking knowledge, this unending amounts of knowledge, this invaluable fucking knowledge that I've never really found a use for in any goddamn thing. So I have to start this thing up to cycle gasoline. The motor's on top of the front wheel, and the little piston, little turning cylinder lays on the tire and makes the bike go forward. It's an old thing. I like it. It's got a big loud noise. It sounds like some early Model T. And I get on a bike and I go to her house. Now I'm thinking of all sorts of scenarios, all kinds of things. And I'm thinking, is this going to be an up and up thing? And I got the artwork she wants me to explain about. It's in this big fucking vinyl thing that's got a zipper on it. It's thin. It's a big, it holds a canvas cover, you know, a canvas to paint on. And I'm thinking about all these things, and I'm thinking about Thanksgiving. I just love the fucking holidays, man. I'm fired up. I'm enthused, man. And don't forget to support this, whatever it is I do here, in the form of a Christmas gift. You can do that now, motherfucker. I gotta give Norm a Christmas gift. I've just been taken from him, waiting for his obituary. I don't fuck him. So I'm on a bike and I'm ready to go. I'm on my best behavior. All this stuff that I share with you, that's all gone. I've got to shelve it. I got to pull the drawers open, put all this stuff I just told you, put it in the drawers, close the drawers up, and represent myself as the person she wants me to be. I have to do this. I have to perform like, what do they say, like a seal. So I get to her house And when I get to her house, I see stuff of me there. She answers the door. She's good looking. She's good looking. She's little. I can smell her perfume. I like everything about her. She got long hair, not some dykish fucking boy haircut. Lord Flaunteré haircut that's cut at her knees, cut at her ears or some shit like that. Nothing like that. And then the mom comes there, Betty, and I like Betty just as much. I can see why Betty put out this chick, because Betty's attractive herself. And I can smell food at the inside the house. When I come into the house, she gives me this little plate on top of the plate. And on top of the plate are these deep fried onions. These fried onions in the, that you put in the green beans, and they're fried and warm. And these are the real things. She says, have a couple. And I say, sure, thanks. And I'm at the house. The daughter disappears. She disappears, and I start having a conversation with Betty because it's Thanksgiving. It's her pre-Thanksgiving day party, and she wants to have a conversation, and I'm having a conversation too, and I'm sort of enjoying it. I'm thinking, you know, this isn't bad. Yeah, I could be at my house right now doing dope, injecting my ball sack with fucking food coloring with dye so they can put it in my sack when I blow my load. My load drips out of her mouth, and it looks like blood coming out the sides of her mouth like she's a vampire. Chicks love that shit, and this is how you get women, man. So we're talking and stuff. She says, hey, tell me about your artwork. How's it work? I said, well, Betty, it's probably not for you, but it is working. It is taking off. And in its simplest forms, it's this. She says, yeah, do I have to move chairs or anything? I said, no, I'm not going to be in a wrestling competition or something. Whether you're doing gymnastics or jumping around like I'm on the fucking, the beam in gymnastics class. No, it's not nothing like that, Betty. So I take out the canvas. And the canvas is 4 feet, about 3.5 or 4 feet wide by about 5 feet long. And it's a brand new canvas. I haven't even used it. And I start to explain to her what I've been doing. And it's the holidays. I'm sharing stuff. You can't really have friends if you don't share each other's info. You share with them. They share with you. You share intimate stuff with them. They share intimate stuff with you. And that builds a friendship that's supposedly trustworthy, or supposedly they're with you to the day you die. But every time I talk to anybody and someone dies, they have two people show up for their funeral. So I don't know how much credence I can put into that. So I said, here's how it works. I'll hold it over here. I said, I hold the frame. And then the woman I have, it's got to be a good-looking woman. I know a lot of good-looking women, Betty. Yourself included, of course. And I said, and then I tell the woman with not any clothes on to run as fast as she can, and then jump through the canvas of the canvas frame. She just tears through it with her hands pointed out like she's a missile or something. You put your nail, every woman wears acrylic nails, so it's no problem. If they don't have acrylic nails on, I tell them to put the acrylic nails on. I said, well, you got to put your hands together, and you got beautiful acrylic nails. I just love them, though I really know what they are. They're cum collectors. They collect skin. They collect cum. They collect fecal matter. They collect all kinds of shit. That's what acrylic nails are. I don't know why they allow them at fast food places and drive-thrus and McDonald's. It makes no sense. They're sin times 10 on her fingers with all kinds of traces of horrible shit and bacteria living. I say, so put your fingers in front of you, your hands in front of you like that, and your hands are out, and then you take your clothes off, and you run through the canvas while I'm holding. And I said, it's important. I have to hold the canvas. I have to hold the actual frame. I have to be part of it because I'm the artist. I'm the guy that came up with this. I hold the canvas and you jump through it without any clothes on. And I said, it's that simple. And she said, people pay you for that? I said, yeah, they do. When they realize that the hole torn into the canvas, all these rips, all these tears, this hole torn into it, this giant monstrosity, like someone took a sharp knife to the canvas, when they realize a good-looking bitch went through it and her tits dragged past it, her cunt dragged past it, her asshole dragged past it, her cheeks, her white fucking ass cakes drove past it, when she thinks of all that stuff, the people think, wow, I gotta have that. Who jumped through it? What kind of bitch jumped through that? Their imagination goes wild. I gotta have that piece of art. I'll bet it was a good-looking bitch. Norman wouldn't pick a dog, an ugly skag. It had to have been a good-looking bitch. Maybe she was dripping from the pussy. Maybe he fingered her shithole. Maybe he fingered her cunthole. Maybe she sucked his cock before she jumped through it. There's all kinds of intrigue and romance related to this kind of art. So I said, yeah, that's all it is to it, Betty. I can smell a turkey going. I can smell the fixins. She said that she's expecting about 30 people. I can see all kinds of booze out and all kinds of beautiful glasses. It's a really nice setup. And there's turkeys and stuff and pictures and little fucking little plastic things and, you know, decorations that make you think of Thanksgiving and Christmas and all that. So I start to put it away. I'm putting it back in the zipper bag. I've explained it to her. She's not the person that would do this. She would never do this. I didn't want her to be involved in it. She's a nice person. She's practically my neighbor. And that was it. And fucking stuff me was there. And I didn't, none of that was just, it was up and up, and that's all. Betty suddenly says to me as I'm putting the canvas back in the frame with a zipper. I think it's made of vinyl or something like. It's not a leather case. It's a vinyl case with a big metal zipper. I like the metal zipper part. And she says, I would like to try that, Norman. I said, what do you mean you'd like to try it? She said, I'd like to jump through your canvas without any clothes on and create art with you. And I'm thinking, fucking A, man, the way she said that. Create art with you. Create art with you. Hear that? It's sexy, man. It draws you the fuck in, and I started to feel my cock. I started to feel a heartbeat in my cock. It started to jack itself up. I would like to create art with you. It sounded like she was saying some kind of metaphor. I would like to fuck you. I would like to be engaged in intercourse with you. And you know why that comes up? Because I am a sexual machine. It's not a joke. I'm highly tuned into this shit. Any chick listening to this would tell you the same thing. He's not bullshitting. This is all real. It's all authentic. That's what they'd say. But let your bitch sister hear this, and she'll tell you, that's fucking great shit. He's not making it up, stupid. Go back to the fucking back room and play your erector set, or re-glue your hammer into your axe. That's the fucking mind that some of my men listeners have. She said, I'd like to create art with you. I said, no, come on, Betty. When's your guest coming over 45 minutes, an hour from now? That doesn't make sense. I said, your room's not set up for here. Stuff of me's over here. She's in the room. And so I said, no, this is a nice thing. I don't want to do that. She said, I really want to do this with you. And that was another sexy thing. I really want to do this with you. Now, remember, she has to take her clothes off, and then she has to jump through the canvas, and that means she's jumping through the canvas. I've got purview to her ass. I've got purview to her legs, her pussy hair, her thighs, her big goddamn melons, her full red lips as she's driving through this thing. I said, oh, come on, man. You just said you wanted to see it. I just wanted to show it to you. What time's the guest? And let's get on with this dinner. And I snapped my hands together and shit. She said, no, I want to jump through the canvas for you. I want to jump through the canvas for you. This is exactly the kind of bitch I dreamed of, and she knows what to say. I don't want some fucking bitch in charge. She weighs 250 pounds. Her goddamn sexy curves are nothing but fat. She's in control. She tells you off, blames you for everything that ever happened to her from day one to now. I don't want that bitch. This is the kind of things I like to hear come on a carbon Munich with big jugs and a fucking tight pussy. This is just saying the things that I want to hear, man. I said, are you sure you want to try this? And I start getting kind of, what do they say, turned on? I start getting turned on to this. I have to say that a certain way because I don't know how you'll respond to this. And I know some men like yourself, that this might be over the top or too much for you to handle. So she says, yeah. Okay. I said, okay. She said, what do I do? I said, well, your beautiful outfit, which was beautiful. She had a mohair sweater on. I could see parts of her jugs, the top of the sweater. She had a beautiful damn dress that had a slit up the side for this pre-Thanksgiving Day party. I loved her perfume. Her makeup was perfect. I don't care what HD makeup it was. It was perfect. She looked like she'd come out of a magazine living up here in the middle of nowhere. And I think, when are you going to get something like this again? I mean, look at her. Smell that odors. Absorb yourself, metamorphose into this moment, the air, the capsule, the trapped in it. I'm inside a rectangle with all this shit happening. I'm trapped in there. Now I want to perform. I'm interested. And I want to be part of whatever's trapped inside this rectangle. Her stuff of me, the scents, the smells, the sights, all of it. She said, what do I have to do? I said, just take your clothes off. You can put them on wherever you want to put them. She says, no, I don't want to just put them anywhere. She said, I just want to take them off, drop them. You want to take them off and drop them? This girl's like out of heaven. I was trying to be polite. I was trying not to be obtuse and be all kinds of manners and style and all that and grace. I was going to tell her to put them on the arm of her couch. And she said, no, I'm just going to drop them. She takes off her dress, drops it. She takes off her shirt, this beautiful mohair sweater. There's her goddamn tits and her bra. It was a beautiful bra. Beautiful panties dropped to the ground. I actually think they were slightly wet in the cotton ventilated panel area. I'm a master at that, and that's what you should be too. This is what we do. This is what we are. We're cum machines looking for that thing to populate. We're cum machines, and that's our raw product. We need that, and that's like two machines coming together. And she drops her panties and stuff, man. She was beautiful. I couldn't believe she was so close. And I was feeling kind of uncomfortable with stuff of me in the next room. I thought stuff of me's in the next room, so her mom turns up the radio a little bit. And I think one of those old songs on by Bing Crosby about Christmas, beginning it look a lot like Christmas, that was playing. She turned it up a little more. But there I stood with this woman. All the shit going on in the world. Muslims killing fruits. Muslims taking over cities. Muslims chopping fucking heads off of people like you and me, running around fucking Allah Akbar. And I think, look how goddamn lucky I am. I don't have that. There's no Allah Akbar here. There's just heaven here. I'm in heaven. I'm on a stage before heaven. So she takes her clothes off and she says, now what do I do? I said, well, I'm going to hold it in front of this wall. And you're going to, not directly, so you have some space. I'm going to hold it by this wall. And you're going to run through the run and drive yourself through the canvas like a nail being shot from a nail gun. You're going to drive yourself. You're going to propel yourself, shoot yourself through this canvas. And all your body's going to rip through it. And then I've got the art. People love this shit. I've been thinking of including pictures with these pieces of art of the woman that did it. They love this shit. My ship may have come in. I don't really know. My ship, S-H-I-P. So she says, okay, I'm going to go now. Her nipples are rock hard. I can see goose pimples or goosebumps all over her body. Her beaver's beautiful. It's not shaved to try to look like she's 6 years old. Her beaver's beautiful. Her buttocks, her cheeks. I mean, this chick's legendarily looking good. And she's practically, like I said earlier, like my neighbor who invited me to come here. Who gets invited to come anywhere to do something like that? You get invited. Yeah, there's your dog. There's your bitch that's got you on a leash. Here she's sitting there with a bunch of people that really don't like you. And is look what I'm in. I create this. I imagine this. I hope for this. I want this. I only think this, and that equals reality. I've brought it to me. We all create our own reality, fuckstick. So she says, okay, here I go. And she backs up by a big table that's near the kitchen. And on that table, there's all kinds of fixings and other dishes and stuff like that. She backs up. She goes through this doorway. It's a plaster house, so it's older. I can tell because it's got rounded tops over the halls. That's all plaster done with lath boards and all that. And that even makes it better because I know the place was put together by a lot of men and a lot of people came here and the people are here now. The house is filled with life and celebration and a movement. And that's what we're doing now, like art itself. And plastering walls is art. She takes off, she runs through the canvas. When she runs through the fucking canvas, she goes through the canvas so gracefully, one of my best subjects, one of my best art assistants ever, she goes through the canvas like there's not even canvas on it. Just like a stick of butter. She goes through it that quick, that streamlined. Like a goddamn dolphin jumping out of the water and going over your boat beautifully, no problem. And it was like that. She was like a dolphin. She was like a dolphin, a big jugged dolphin. With juicy gams and all kinds of fucking pussies and all kinds of workings in her cunt, monthly bleeds and all. It's all fucking art, really, when you think about it. She goes through the canvas like a dolphin, and when she goes through the canvas like a dolphin, I watch her feet finally press through. When I watch her feet, I take it away, and I see that she's gone through the fucking drywall wall. I thought it was plaster. She's gone through the wall. Might have been plaster still. And I thought nobody could go through the wall if that was fucking plaster. She goes to the wall of her daughter's bedroom, a big goddamn hole's in there, and her daughter, when I look through the hole, this is like, you just ain't gonna believe it, fuckstick. Her daughter's on the bed with her legs spread, no clothes on, and she's beaten off with the biggest dildo I've ever seen. Yeah, I don't know what it was. Probably me being there. She's beaten off with a dildo. Her mom hit the bed and landed on her back on the rug. And there's her daughter with her cunt practically aimed towards me as I look through the hole in the wall, the fucking plaster that broke up, the lath boards that broke up, the drywall that broke up. I don't really know. I think it's a plaster house. Her daughter's got her legs spread with this big goddamn dildo, and the dildo had finger holes. Honest to God, you ever see finger holes? Like a knife, a killing knife. You're in a jungle and shit. You got four of your fingers in these holes on a knife. I don't know, a stiletto knife. I don't really know what it is. And she's got her fingers through these holes that are attached to the dildo, and she's really whacking it. When her mom came through naked, too, I mean, it was a royal fuck-up. There comes a naked woman through the fucking wall. It's her mother, and she's on a bed beating herself up, trying to come while I'm over. I'm starting to pop a rod right now because it's so erotic and so true. It's 100% true. When I stuck my head in, I could smell pussy. When I pulled my head back out, The stench of turkey, the stench of gravy, the stench of fucking stuffing was being overcome by the stench of stuffing me, as it was leaking out these odors, these fumes, this liquid into the fucking room. It's like we broke a pipe of pussy and it was filling up the room. The mom's on her fucking side, on her back, like, and she seems like she's unconscious or groggy. I guess she hit the wall head on while she was making art with me. And her daughter's in there doing something too, some kind of unique art. I mean, when they're on their back with a fucking dildo with finger holes so they don't slip off so they can keep driving in and deeper, if you think that's not art, you're nuts. No face is ever the same on a bitch. No eyebrow raise. No mouth movement. No eye movement is ever the same, ever been replicated in any fuck session, in any self-masturbatory solo session. It's never been fucking the same, not one. It's pure art. The whole goddamn thing is pure art, and it's unbelievable. I want to pull my cock out and pump off. I think, what's the difference? But I didn't do that. I mean, me walking around with a 15.5-pound dick, stuffing me's on the bed with a stiletto goddamn dildo, the mom's a kind of groggy, and she's naked too, laying on the floor. I'm there fucking 10, 15 minutes, and look at the chaos I caused. Look what happened when I came into the goddamn room. Look what happened. My mom wasn't 100% right, so I had to go home and get smelling salts. I told her that. I told stuffing me that. She wouldn't even stop when I was looking for the hole. I helped her do that. She had something real there that she could equate to my big dick, and she wasn't going to stop for nothing. I had to get smelling salts that I got in an old kit when I was in Vietnam. It's still good. I came back with the smelling salts, man. I did something else too while I was at home, but I'm not going to talk about it. With this money, and I got the smelling salts. You'll have to fucking do some detective work, fuckstick.
I'll be right back.
I gotta go, mofo. But it was incredible. The most incredible thing, one of them that's ever happened to me, and I want this life to keep coming towards me at 100 miles an hour. I don't want no other life. I gotta go, mofo. I gotta go. Thought I'd share you with a pre-Thanksgiving Day party. I want to wish you a happy holidays too, fuckstick. I gotta go. I'm starting to pop a rod.
You've been listening to the one and only
Augustinus!
My dick is enormous. There is no escape.
We meet at the big clock. In cyberspace, it's dark out there in cyberspace. It's scary out there in cyberspace. You're out there in cyberspace. You're frozen with fear. You don't know what to do. You're looking up. You're looking down. You're looking to the right. You're looking to the left. It's windy out. You don't know what to do. You're frozen. Till eventually and quite abruptly, you hear this distant chiming clock in the background. And you follow the chiming clock until it gets louder and louder and louder. Eventually bringing you upon this brightly illuminated place in cyberspace. There are thousands of people there. They're holding hands. They're smiling. They've been waiting for you. There's that thing that brought you to this place in the first place. It's a tower. 100-150 feet tall. Brown bricks. Tan mortar. Way at the top of this tower is a glass bezel. It's a clock. It's backlit. And above that is this chimey bell-like thing that brought you to this place in the first place. And you know why you're at this place in the first place. You're here to clear out your pains, your frustrations, your aches, your woes, your disappointments, your hurts. The person that died on you, the ramen noodles you're sick of eating, the credit cards you can't pay off, the apartment you can't pay for, the house you think you'll maybe never own, the bitch who left you, the guy who left you. You're here to clear all those pains and frustrations out. And how do we do that? Well, the moment you heard my voice, you were instantly and automatically filled up with this highly absorbent orange-colored solution. It's been inside your body sloshing about this entire recording. And now, at the end of this recording, we lie you gently down. We pop the corks in your toes. And all of that highly absorbent orange-colored solution comes gushing out of your body. Look at it. It's forming a small mini lake alongside you. It's orange-colored. It's rusty. It stinks. It's toxic. We shake your feet, getting out the last drops of highly absorbent orange-colored solution and replace the corks in your toes. You can't believe how good you feel. You feel like you can go on another second, another minute, another day, another hour, another year, maybe infinitely. It doesn't matter that a friend of yours is making $250,000 a year and lives in a million-dollar house. It doesn't matter that another friend of yours has got the best-looking bitch you've ever seen, or another friend of yours has the best-looking dude you've ever seen. None of that shit matters. All that matters is how good you feel right now. You know you can feel this good anytime you want to. Anytime you're in duress, anytime you feel like you can't go on another second, all you gotta do is think of the big chiming clock in cyberspace, where you meet your pal, your friend, Norm Augustinus. And instantly, and almost automatically, you'll feel refreshed and clear. You know the best part of this recording, the most important part of this recording, at least to me, is that for 1 hour, we were friends. Friend, I enjoyed myself. I hope you did too. Write me, normaugustinus@gmail.com.
Tune in again for another exciting episode from the amazing mind of Norm Augustinus.
Dear Tracy, how are you? Happy Thanksgiving. I am dumping out brown bread from a tin can this very moment. I am going to cut a slice and butter it and eat it. Tracy, I've got to tell you something. The other day I was walking on the side of the road. I found a pair of women's heavily soiled panties. When I picked the panties up to inspect them, two baked turkey legs fell out and they landed near my feet. The panties were covered in cum stains. The elastic waistband was almost torn off and there was a large round hole in the back end of the panty. I believe it was a dick hole. The baked turkey legs were still warm. Just for a moment, I thought about eating them. But when I smelled the cum panty, I smelled the stench of pussy, so I didn't eat the turkey legs. I found a pubic hair on one of the baked turkey legs anyway. I believe a man and a woman were driving down the road in a pickup truck. The man probably bought the baked turkey legs from 7-Eleven. It was his way of celebrating Thanksgiving. His woman was seated on the pickup truck velour bench seat near the passenger side window. Almost certainly, the man inserted the baked turkey legs into his woman's pussy, and he licked the turkey legs, and then he crammed his huge schlong into her hungry asshole. When the both of them were done coming, the woman wrapped her cum panties around the 7-Eleven baked turkey legs, and she threw them out the truck window. I gotta go. I've got friends coming over on Thanksgiving Day. I've got a shitload of things to do. Write me back. Love, Norman. P.S. I bumped into your big-titted little sister at the turkey carving competition held inside the Chamber of Commerce building off Main Street. When it was time for a new contestant, your big-titted little sister would bring a freshly baked turkey to the table so that the contestant could carve it up. The contestant that could carve the turkey the fastest would be the winner of a $100 Amazon gift card. When your big-titted little sister saw me standing in the audience, she went into the toy store and she crawled inside the kid's dollhouse. Once inside the dollhouse, your big-titted little sister laid on her back and she took off her shirt, brassiere, pants, and panties, and she pulled her knees back to her ears. When I crawled into the dollhouse, your big-titted little sister's shit and fuckhole were aimed directly at me, so I ate her out, and I gave your big-titted little sister a rim job. While I was rimming your big-titted little sister, a woman crawled into the toy store dollhouse, and she said,
"The toy store owner is out there, and he's running around frantically trying to find the dead animal that must be somewhere in his toy store. He doesn't know that the bitch you're eating out is the dead animal that he thinks he's smelling. The dead animal is your bitch's pussy. Here's the deal. I'm here from London. I can't go back. The Slims are beheading people like me. Slims is short for Muslims. Eat me out and rim me, and I won't tell the toy store owner that the decaying skunk he's looking for is right here inside his $400 dollhouse. Have we got a deal?
Attention shoppers, this is Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. Ladies, right now, just in time for the holidays, I'm selling used cum panties wrapped around two baked turkey legs. Girls, these panties are old and they're riddled with stains. Embedded in these panties, you might find shit, urine, perspiration, beer, and whiskey stains. You might also find cigarette burn holes. But what you'll mostly find are large, irregularly shaped, big blow cum stains. Some of the cum stains are thick like you'd find when you're clutching onto the structure of a plastic party cup. That kind of thick. The turkey legs were cooked for us by the soup kitchen on 93rd Street. The panties were gotten by mining the rooms at the flop house off Washington Street and Link Avenue. Please look up at the store monitor near you. Look how the elastic band of these cum panties is just hanging on by a thread. Isn't that exciting? Take note of the baked turkey leg. It's golden brown and glistening. It looks like it was just mopped over a wet, hungry pussy. Come to the counter right now. Each cum panty is at least 10 years old. A special machine wraps the soiled cum panty around the turkey leg to ensure the legs won't fall out on your drive home. To contain the odor of fermented pussy, we'll wrap your precious turkey leg panty bundle with saran wrap at no extra cost. Get this amazing one-of-a-kind conversation piece for only $79.95. On a side note, my assistant Mandy Phelps has just shit onto our giant, very rare crystal turkey situated in the main lobby of this department store. Mandy was using glass cleaner to clean the Bacharach crystal turkey. While she was looking through the crystal turkey, a man with a big dong bulge came through the store door. The Bacharach crystal turkey magnified the man's dong bulge 10 times at least. The crystal worked like a magnifying glass, and it pushed Mandy over her sexual cliff. And when she turned to watch the man walk past her, her asshole gave way, and she shit all over our prized Bacharach crystal turkey. Mandy has irritable bowel syndrome, and she's extremely horny. Occasionally, when Mandy Phelps is turned on, she'll shit.
His bulging Peter looked so big when I looked at it through the Bacharach crystal turkey. I'm sorry for shitting on the crystal bird. I'm so horny. Somebody bring their hand to me and rub my cunt. Stop laughing at me, you fucking bastards.
Attention maintenance, please bring spray cleaner, scrub brushes and mops, and 5 or 6 holiday scented Airwick solids to the main lobby. This has been Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. Happy holidays. That is all.
Fuck.
Oh.
Fuck.
Oh.
Fuck.
Oh.
Fuck.
Oh.
Fuck.
Oh.
Fuck.
Oh.
Fuck.
Ah.
Fuck.
Ah.
Fuck.
Ah.
Women are constipated 3 times more than men.
When you're walking down the halls and your balls hit the walls, it's a rupture.